Hi, my name is Sarah, hailing from Germany, outside of Heidelberg at the moment. I'm a songwriter and a podcaster. Power Bites isn't a power trip. Think of it like a power bar to encourage you and me and challenge you and me to keep up our race together. Thanks for listening.
All right, so today we are going to be diving into the book of Joshua. That's what I'm studying right now. And I think it's fantastic. I think I've written, even just for four chapters, at least a couple pages of notes. And I could have kept going. See, I strongly recommend you buying a Bible that you're willing to mark up. Take Jacob's example for us. He wrestled with the Spirit of God. So we can either treat the Bible like it's on some kind of platform and keep it at a distance from ourselves, and no one changes in that scenario. No deepening of a relationship. We can sort of take the Bible and put our own views on it, so to speak. I reflect on the story that I heard of this girl who decorated a whole Bible for her boyfriend. And I think that's awesome that she and her boyfriend are keeping scripture at the center of things. But for me, I'd be like, get your hands off my Bible. It's my relationship. Because we can project things also on scripture. And we can make it say what we want it to say. But until there's a work, until there's a wrestling, nobody changes. And you have a walk and I have a walk. So I strongly, for the beginning of this year, go ahead, go get a Bible and mark it up. 1 year I went through the whole Bible and just marked all, you know, if you want to start small, I just put a triangle on all the references to God or Lord or Jesus. It's just from the first book to the last. You can do the whole precept thing where there's all kinds of words that you go back and you reread, and it's pretty intense. I haven't done that for this study, but this time it's the same Bible that I marked all the words for God. But this time I'm going back and I really want to study this person, this Joshua. And one of the things that intrigues me about Joshua is his predecessor, the shoes that he had to fill. And so before we begin, let's pray and we'll see what God has for us. God, if I get in the way of this, I pray that you just move me aside and proclaim what you want to proclaim into the hearts and lives of anyone who's listening. This book is about you, and the more we wrestle with it, the more we dive into it, the more we seek to learn and to understand and to fix our eyes, the more we change. And so I pray that you would start that changing work in us, or continue that changing work in us, or wherever it is, wherever we're at, that you would continue in that you promised to do, and to strengthen us, to give us courage, to encourage us as well as challenge us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to go to chapter 4 first, and then we're going to jump back. I think there's a key verse in chapter 4. And it tells you, it gives you insight into Joshua's predicament about filling the shoes, concerning filling the shoes of Moses. No one said he had to be Moses. No one's asking him to had the same personality as Moses. No one is even telling him that he has to have the same gifting as Moses. But to just take his place as a leader must have been overwhelming and indescribably awkward. And so let's get to 4:14. It says, on that day, keep in mind, we are four chapters into the book of Joshua. Four chapters. Four chapters since verse 1:1. Now it came to pass after the death of Moses. Moses is gone. The mantle is passed. But we are four chapters into this book. And in the 14th verse, it says, on that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel so that they revered him. So he had to go four chapters before he was revered, before he was honored, before he was recognized. They revered him just as they had revered Moses all the days of his life. So for four chapters, honey, he had to do some work. And we'll get back to another part of this, chapter 4. But let's go back to chapter 1. And the mantle being passed. And the words that God spoke to Moses. And maybe God is speaking to you. The words that God had to repeat over and over and over again to Joshua. See, we have a tendency to look over these words. We read the Bible, we know what it says, and we forget to put ourselves in that place. I would not want to be in Joshua's shoes. Nope. No. No. I am really good at passing the buck. I don't want to be a leader. I don't want to be your leader. I'm having a hard time tying my own shoes. Thank you very much. But there's a choice that we can make as Christ followers. And we'll get into this right now. Now it came to pass, we're in 1:1. After Moses, the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise. Oh, no. Cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them. So, arise. If you fail in this, you're responsible to all these people. Basically. I am giving the land to them. I am using you. Now, let's just talk about this land for a minute. Totally occupied. Totally. They are on the opposite side of the Jordan River, which is full of water because it's harvest season. We'll find that out later in this book. So lots of water to cross, which is familiar, which is a familiar scenario. And lots of people to say, hey, we're moving in too. To the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. The circumstances say the opposite. When we're Christians, we have a choice to make. We can either look at the circumstances that are in total opposition to what the Lord is saying over our lives, or we can trust Him. Now we'll look at specifically the characteristics of a Christian who has decided they're going to be on God's side and listen to God and be a part of His work, and the Christian who constantly needs reminding of God's promises, who constantly needs propping up because they falter in their belief habitually. They backslide habitually. They look around at their circumstances habitually. They're locked down to this earth. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. I have a feeling, Joshua, I don't know about you, but if I were in that place and I'm going to put on somebody else's shoes who has done a very good job of dealing with 6 million plus whatever people who constantly complained, who constantly sinned, who constantly turned away, who constantly attacked him. He wasn't able to enter the promised land, but he did a really good job. And I'm going to put on those shoes. The guy who delivered these people after 400 years from the hands of Pharaoh and took them all through the desert and taught them the Ten Commandments. This is the same guy who walked up Mount Sinai, came down glowing. I'm gonna fill those shoes. Only be strong and very courageous. My circumstances say something else, Lord. Something else. They are screaming something else. Only be strong and very. And we were like, well, I don't know. Are you going to decide that God's words have more weight or that circumstance has more weight? Because, yeah, nobody's denying the fact that it doesn't have weight. Nobody. And I'm going to tell you, your feels are going to say something else. And your enemies are going to say something else. But you can choose to give God's words in this new year more weight. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Maybe some of us, that's our verse this year. Did you pick out a word this year? I picked out a word. My word is next. Next. Next step. Next thing. Next. Effort and obedience. Next. That's my word. Let's skip down and discuss a couple of, for today, two kinds of Christian here. Chapter 2. Two men. Joshua sent two men to Jericho. These two men visited, we know the story. They met Rahab. Rahab invited them in, but what is remarkable about Rahab is that she was seeing the forest for the trees. It wasn't so much that she lied. Well, she was brave. She lied to, you know, the king of that city or whoever he was, mayor, whatever they called him, like almost directly lied to the leader of that city and told them the spies were not with her. But what's remarkable is her discernment. The forest for the trees. She had collected this information, you know, via the Promised Land web or whatever it was, that there was a group of people coming and they were defeating everything and anyone. See, you know, if you were to take the story from the Israelites' perspective, there was a lot of struggle. But what Rahab says, what she saw coming, was a force to be reckoned with. If you sit in your circumstances, it's going to look like a lot of defeat. But you keep getting up and you keep trying and you keep pushing forward in obedience. There is someone from the outside that thinks you're a force to be reckoned with. I hope that encourages you. I hope that lifts you up. Because there isn't a step of obedience lost in the sight of God. There isn't a work that you're doing for his name's sake that he's like, do better next time. Never. Never. Let's hear what she has to say. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof where she was hiding him and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. She sees it. It's clear to her. And that the terror of you has fallen on us. How'd that happen? I mean, from Israel's perspective, oh my, we spent most of our time complaining. And yet somehow, in that struggle, in their struggle to believe God, in their struggle to keep leaning, in the middle of Moses' umpteenth rebuke, there was something coming across, traveling over the Jordan and into the promised land, about their reputation. There isn't a single thing, I'll say it again, there isn't a single thing you are doing in faith, in obedience to God, that he does not see and that he will not use. There isn't that meh category. We like to throw that around. But think about it. No meh category when you walk in faith. I can tend to get really discouraged. I mean, I'm songwriting. Who knows who's listening? I'm reminded today, there's no meh category for the songs that I give to the Lord. Not one. I might think they're a meh category, listening back. But not to him. The terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you, and when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted and no courage. What did God say to Joshua? be strong and very courageous. Hey, I got a reality here and you can step into it. His is the reality. No courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. So tomorrow we're going to continue talking about the spies. And I guess I'll call this podcast Two Choices. And yeah, so I think that's where God wants me to stop today. So peace out until tomorrow.
Okay, thanks for listening. Join me for the next part of this series, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, usually, you know. I'll let you know. Find Underground Crowds on Twitter or undergroundcrowds.com.